The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Of the people. This is the Peter Boyle Show.
Final hour, the final show before Christmas. Randy Corporate in for Pete this week. Pete back bright and early on Monday morning. 8 o'clock, cloudy outside. 56 for the high today, 52 tomorrow. Steadily colder to the weekend, about 40 degrees by the time we get to Saturday. I did sneak out. I know a lot of you saw the picture on Facebook. It was like 140 likes. I snuck out on the Harley on Sunday to get my cold medicine. And, honey, I got to go get some more cold medicine. It's just so nice and so warm. I dressed up. It was, you know, it didn't hurt me, I don't think, but it sure felt good. And I got to tell you something, as far as feeling good, so many text messages coming in on my phone, social media, on the Text to Studio app. Really grateful for everybody who's supporting this station. It's been an interesting month. And the people who get us and get what we do stand with you. I've never been around an organization that can turn out folks to important events, whether they're fun events, social events, meeting with, you know, fun folks like Prager and Malkin or whatever. The 710 family is so solid and doing such great work. And you ain't seen nothing yet. 2020 is just around the corner. I know we got a bunch of callers on the line, but been looking forward to talking with Jenna Ellis. Jenna Ellis used to sit right behind this very microphone. And now you can see her Fox News, CNN, all over the place, writing for the Washington Examiner and other great publications. She's a constitutional law attorney, now the senior legal advisor for the Trump 2020 campaign. Yeah, you can tell it's the fourth hour. And if you are a constitutional conservative geek like I am, you will really enjoy her book, The Legal Basis for a Moral Constitution. But the thing that caught my attention, just had to text her earlier in the week when I saw this, was this absolute takedown. Jenna made a comment on Fox News day before, whatever, earlier in the day. And I played it earlier in the show. I won't play it again since we've got Jenna right now. But the comment included her observations that the Democrat Party hates America. They hate our constitutional republic. And so CNN invited her on, did not warn her, tell her that they were going to play this clip. You know, she's been doing a lot of conversation and commentary on impeachment, and that's what she was there for. And the host, Jenna, you know, welcome. You can make your arguments about the president, you know, that's okay. But how do you support your position that Democrats hate America? And she was off and running. And I'll tell you, the host was literally speechless, literally speechless. It was a brilliant, brilliant thing. And just caused me to reach out and demand that she come home to Colorado and join us here, 710 CAN-US. Jenna, good morning.
Good morning, Randy. It's great to be back with you.
You know, so beautiful. I played that yesterday. I played it, I think, once today. You had no idea that was coming.
No, CNN definitely does not warn you with their gotcha moments.
All right. And is that typical that they try and get you set up? Obviously, when they bring a conservative into their loony liberal domain, it's not to be edified. It's not to be educated by what you have to say. It's to try and find something they can mock and challenge.
Right. And, you know, this happens pretty frequently. And so whenever I go on CNN and And I always take that opportunity. I'm very proud to defend the president, defend constitutional conservatism, defend the Christian faith. So if I ever get an opportunity, of course I go on. But I'm always prepared that they're probably going to try to go a completely different direction, change up the topic, do something, because they want to make conservatives look stupid. That's their point, right? So you have to be prepared literally for anything. And so at this point, this particular show, the host, of course, tried to play a very quick clip from Hannity, which was from the night before, where I was responding very quickly at the end and didn't have a lot of time to fully explain the position. And so he just said, you know, Democrats hate America. I mean, what? How can you possibly defend that? And I was like, oh, let me tell you the way. And so ended up going on for about a minute and a half. And I was actually shocked that he didn't stop me. But he just sat there and I looked at the clip later, because of course, you know, I was remote and so couldn't see him. I was just in the camera, but you know, he just has this sort of shocked look on his face that conservatives can't actually defend that position. But you know, Randy, I didn't actually think that was very controversial. I mean, the Democrats are literally running on the fact that they hate America, that they want to change everything that makes America fundamentally great and has a fundamental identity of preserving and protecting our God-given rights. I mean, they're wanting to change into socialism. They're wanting to change into the party that takes away all of our freedoms and says that the government, the big government, knows better than you can. They want to change up that parents have absolutely no rights to raise their family. They want to take away our religious freedom. I mean, all of these things, they want to just completely destroy. They want to completely get rid of our rule of law and manipulate that in every way that they can. I mean, if you look at the platform of the presidential candidates, if you look at somebody like AOC and the Squad, and you look at somebody like Nancy Pelosi, who's trying to so manipulate this impeachment scam and say first that, you know, the president is an existential threat to democracy, and then say, oh, just kidding, we're gonna hold back these articles of impeachment until we can tell the Senate how to do their job. I mean, all of these things, you just go on down the line. I really didn't think it was that controversial to say that Democrats do hate America.
Well, remember back 2008, Barack Hussein Obama. We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming America. I love my wife. I don't want to fundamentally transform her. I love my motorcycle. I like to clean it. You know, I like to ride it, but I don't want to change it into a car. I mean, it really is common sense, but you're so right about the video. I encourage everybody to follow you on Twitter and get it there, go to YouTube, whatever. Because it's really gone all around the country, if not around the world. The guy is speechless. And at the very end, he makes the comment, well, I didn't think that you would try to defend that Democrats hate America, but you did. He was literally shocked and speechless. It was terrific.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, it was a privilege to be able to defend that position and to talk about truly constitutional conservatism. And it also showed me as well that not only do the Democrats, and those are great analogies of fundamentally transforming the essence of something and if you truly love something, you keep its essence and you want to protect and preserve it. And so conservatism, we're conserving the essence of America. We're conserving our Constitution, our rule of law, and our declaration's mandate that our government's sole obligation is to preserve and protect the rights that come from God, not our government. And I think that more conservatives need to be prepared to defend that position, especially as we go into 2020. If you look at the article from Christianity Today, for example, that's the other thing I've been defending most recently, is the idea that evangelical Christians can support Donald Trump. And that that's not an immoral position. And if you actually look at the essence of that question, it's saying it's really genuinely asking the question, which I find shocking that this is so controversial. It's saying, is it really against the Christian world to support pro-life, to support Israel, to support our border protection, to support capitalism, to have a great economy, to have low unemployment? I mean, all of these things that President Trump is standing for and his policies, really, that's controversial that Christians support that, and especially look at the alternative. And so we need to boldly stand up for truth. We need to boldly understand the conservative position. And we need to not be afraid to even go to places like CNN or, you know, that might be your neighbor,
in
the same type of forum, you know, for someone else. But be prepared to have a defense, talk about it, and stand firm. And most importantly, I hope that everyone in Colorado especially is standing firm to take back our House and Senate and governorship eventually. And I hope that we are prepared to vote Republican and conservative in 2020 and especially vote for Trump.
Yeah, it's incredibly important. We've had a lot of discussion today regarding Cory Gardner. And, you know, I published a piece in the Colorado Sun about Cory Gardner will do the right thing, acquit the president and get reelected in 2020. And most of the criticism I get is from people on the right who, you know, Cory's voting record, not conservative, not outspoken enough in his defense of the president. And I set all that aside for this next election because I am pro the America First agenda. I am pro the pro-life agenda. All of the things that the president is standing for and accomplishing as president make the debate over whether Gardner's conservative enough or, you know, disagrees with the president too much, in spite of his 90% voting record with Trump. Those just need to be put aside for this particular election because we are in a unique period in history. We have never had a disruptor president like this. We've never seen such tremendous success. And most importantly, we've never seen such a mounted effort to take him out by any means, not at the ballot box, because they know they can't win there, but any other means necessary as far as the radical left, which is mostly the Democrat Party now, is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's especially important that we support Republicans in the Senate, because imagine, Randy, if the Democrats actually had control of both houses of Congress. Oh. We would see not just this fraud impeachment vote in the sham, just ridiculous circus that has no legal or constitutional basis go through the House, but there would genuinely be a chance of that, of actual removal, and that Congress could use and weaponize the impeachment system and have a completely sham trial as well. And never in the history of America should a sitting president either be impeached or removed simply for being a member of the opposition party to those in control of Congress. That was not the intention of impeachment constitutionally. No power given to the federal government can be exercised completely boundless or without limits. And that's exactly what the House is doing. And so when we look at the demographic of the Senate and we look at how we are protecting the Senate by, you know, fairly small margin, it's very important that we aren't voting piously, but we're voting practically. And we're making sure to look and say, okay, what is the bigger picture here? And who are we supporting and for what reasons? And so I would definitely encourage everyone to make sure to look at the bigger picture here of the national elections and even, of course, the state and local elections. But in this context, the national elections and making sure that we are protecting Congress, we're protecting the Senate, and hopefully taking back the House.
Yeah, Donald Trump just changes the equation on everything for this next upcoming election. I agree with you 100%. We're talking with Jenna Ellis, former guest host here at 710 KNUS, now Fox News contributor, author, senior legal advisor to Trump 2020. Dismantled, or at least left stunned it with silence, a CNN panel two or three nights ago now. Just absolutely terrific. And I want to spend some time getting into your response to the Christianity Today article. You wrote a great rebuttal to that whole thing in the Washington Examiner that just came out this morning. But before we do that, because you are a Colorado girl, I got the last time I saw you was behind in the green room before speeches at the Western Conservative Summit on Saturday night. You were there with your new husband. I think the last time I saw you before that might have been when we were all at the Centennial Institute laying hands on Jack Phillips from Masterpiece Cake Shop after the Supreme Court ruled in his favor and praying for him. And how in the world did you manipulate yourself, move yourself, advance yourself the way you have to be someone who actually now, you know, even occasionally talks to the president or has lots of influence on what's going on in the Trump 2020 campaign and is one of the most outspoken people that he has out there. What has been your path? What has taken you to where to the heights that you've achieved, really? I think it's an interesting story.
Well, thank you for that opportunity to tell this story because really and truly, and I don't say this just hyperbolically, that genuinely it's been God opening doors for me and taking me to places I genuinely never thought I would have the opportunity to do. And really, it's for me, it's been a matter of being faithful every day to stand up for truth and to speak it boldly and to take advantage of every single opportunity to do that, whether that was in written journalism, it was on the radio, it was on TV, it was, you know, anywhere, because you never know who is watching. And so along the way, a few significant people have been watching. And so the first person that was watching was Neil Cavuto. I took an opportunity to be on really, really early on Fox Business side on air. And, you know, some people think, well, getting up that early in the morning, I mean, it's really hard work to do a lot of, you know, the media stuff, as you know, Randy. And I took advantage of every opportunity. And then Neil Cavuto was watching, gave me the first opportunity to be on the Fox News Channel side, started doing his show. And then from there, you know, the momentum just kept building. And so the president's advisory board was watching. And so I got a call, and this was probably about a year and a half later, got a call asking if I wanted to join the president's advisory board, which is essentially the top surrogate program that will go out and defend the president on particular issues. And so I did that in the context primarily of constitutional law and have continued to do that and continue to take advantage of every opportunity to defend the truth, defend conservatism, and speak truth boldly. And then the next person that was actually watching was the president. And I ended up getting a phone call from him personally about, it's been almost 2 months ago now, and saying that, you know, he loved what I was doing, how I was defending truth and speaking boldly. And we talked for probably about 45 minutes, and that was amazing. So it was always pick up the phone if it's a 202 number, by the way, which I didn't. So I got a message saying, you know, hey, the president's reaching out to you. Do you want to call back? And I was like, oh, no. Okay, well, yeah, I better call back.
What was the feeling in your tummy at that moment?
I was thinking, like, what in the world? Like,
what did
I
do?
Happening? And I thought, you know, because, I mean, he's known to reach out to people who are part of the campaign or, you know, do work for him. And I had heard from other people who are on the advisory board that they had heard from him. And I'd been doing a lot on the impeachment issue from a constitutional law standpoint. So my immediate reaction was, well, this has something to do with the advisory board. But I didn't realize that it was going to lead to another opportunity to defend him and defend truth and defend conservatism on an even greater level. And so just taking advantage of every opportunity and truly God opening doors has been my path. And so, you know, Isaiah 6:8 is my life verse, which is, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who will I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am, Lord, send me. And that's always been my prayer, that every day I say, Lord, send me, and take advantage of every opportunity. And I tell you, Randy, if you're a Christian and you pray that, be prepared, because you never know where God will send you. And I'm amazed at where God has sent me.
We're getting close to the end of this segment, so I can push it a little bit if your time is short. We haven't even talked about your response to Christianity Today. What's your time like?
Sure, I can stay on, no
problem.
All right,
let's just wrap up this piece talking about the president. I shared a little bit with you in our communication a couple of nights ago about what I learned about the president through a family member and just how kind he is, how gracious he is, and how he actually truthfully interacts with women. You know, all the things you read in the newspaper, and I understand Playboy, I understand his history, you know, setting all that aside, as the president of the United States, as a businessman who my cousin's wife was around a lot, flying to Russia, going to his weddings, being in Trump Tower. Just I got a totally different view of the kind of person the president is as a human being interacting with other human beings. And I don't know how much of that you want to talk about, but I wanted to give you the opportunity as we wrap up this segment.
Yeah, and you know, just quickly, it's been frustrating, I think, for all of us who are Trump supporters to see how much the mainstream media just absolutely maligns and lambasts the president's character, because they're trying to get to us. They're trying to say, if we can paint this man as a racist, misogynist, you know, terrible, evil person, then that's going to convince you and me to be shy and hesitate to stand with him, because then we too will be painted as racist, misogynist, and, you know, all of these things. And they're not painting at all an accurate portrait of who President Trump really is, not only in his capacity as the president of the United States and everything we already talked about why he loves America in contrast to the Democrats hating America, but who he is personally. And, you know, I have seen personally, and I've been in the room, and I've interacted with him when he is funny, he is kind, he is such a gracious host. He is absolutely respectful of people in their subject matter and expertise. And, you know, he's somebody that I respect personally, and not just because he's the president of the United States. Of course, you know, I respect him for that position, but in my interactions, how genuinely brilliant he is. I mean, he misses nothing, and he's very attention to detail. He genuinely, absolutely loves God in this country, and I respect that. And so for the people who may not have as much personal interaction, just know that the mainstream media has an agenda. They're manipulating the narrative, and that's absolutely false. And it is not only okay, but it is a wonderful thing, and I believe the proper position to stand firmly with President Trump for all of his policies, everything is, and even personally, you know. And there, a lot of people have things in their past that, you know, we certainly wouldn't defend. I have things in my past I wouldn't defend, that, you know, sin that I've confessed.
Oh, let's not go there.
And, well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, and so nobody's saying that you have to defend 100%
right,
or 0%.
Right.
They want to make it that false comparison. So stand with President Trump and defend all of the things that you can. And there are so many things we can proudly defend.
Yeah. And the, you know, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. I mean, it's so ridiculous, some of the lobs that get tossed. The last little personal piece that I'll toss in is that he remembers things about people, about their family, or, you know, what they're doing for a living. He really is as smart as he says he is. And it really shows. And you cannot feign the love that he has for the military, for police officers, mm-hmm. for the people that show up at his rallies. That is a genuine connection. There's nobody on the Democrat side that can even come close to touching that.
Yeah, and people see that. I mean, and I've been to several rallies with him, and just seeing how excited people are that he is our representative. And, you know, that's exactly what the Constitution is designed for, to say that we can select and prefer our leaders, and in government, they are the ones representing us. And to see his love of America, he comes out in rallies every time to proud to be an American, and will just look at the crowd, and it's a moment that everyone comes together saying, we are all so proud to be Americans. And again, in contrast to the Democratic Party wanting to fundamentally transform America.
It's incredible.
And that is a really, really powerful moment.
It's a great circle back for what we'll talk about on the other side of this break, the fundamental transformation of things. Nothing in America, nowhere is there a more concerted effort to transform something than to transform Christianity. We have a pope who declares that Christian fundamentalists are a scourge, that you know, we're losing influence because we're too rigid and adhere too strongly to actual Christian values. And then we had this Christianity Today article come out that you so aptly rebutted, and we'll talk about that when we come back with a great guest, a good friend, Jenna Ellis. She'll stay with us. I hope you will too, as we continue the Peter Boyle Show here at 710 KNUS.
We now return to the Peter Boyle Show.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingling.
I'd let that play out a little bit if we didn't have such a great guest on the line. Jenna Ellis, Fox News contributor, author, senior legal advisor to Trump 2020 campaign, and she stays with us. I don't think I even said Merry Christmas to you yet, Jenna.
Merry Christmas, and Merry Christmas from the Trump campaign. We're all very excited that we're keeping Christmas and, you know, making Christmas great again. In fact, tomorrow I will be on Outnumbered Overtime. They're doing a live show for Christmas, and I will have my Keep America Great Santa hat on. I'm really excited. You can get those at our campaign website, and they're awesome.
That is terrific. And you just sent me a text from Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham, happening now, a tweet, I mean. Real Donald Trump speaking via teleconference to members of all branches of the military deployed overseas. POTUS is thanking them for their service and letting them know our country is thinking of them always, especially during the holidays. The reaction of the men and women of the military when Donald Trump shows up anywhere in the world is absolutely extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. He absolutely loves the military and appreciates them. And, you know, one of the photos that is hanging prominently in the West Wing is a picture of him standing, you know, very solemnly in Arlington National Cemetery, and paying tribute to our fallen soldiers. And, you know, every time I see that, it's just, it's so poignant. And, you know, you can just see, again, his love for country and his love for the men and women who serve this country and are willing to give the last measure of their devotion and service to the essence of America.
It's funny, you know, we started this conversation talking a bit about the fundamental transformation of America, how the Democrats hate America, the interaction you had on CNN where you made your case about why that's true. And this is exactly what's going on. As we were waiting to come back from the break, Fox News, it was Bernie Sanders standing hand in hand with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And the comment scrolling under there was, I would be honored to be VP. She is so young and so stupid, she doesn't realize she's not old enough to be the vice president. But she is she is the perfect example. She is probably the leading spokesperson for the Democrat Party right now. And she absolutely hates what America stands for.
Yeah, and, you know, to see how she and Bernie have campaigned together is just such a stark picture. I mean, you know, talk about a poignant picture on one hand of, you know, President Trump, and then the really stark and picture on the other side for Democrats of just how far to the left they have gone, how just completely absurd their platform is. I mean, I've been saying that all of the Democratic candidates are so far left, they're practically falling off the stage. I mean, they are absolutely socialist. They are so far extreme left that they don't even understand what America is and what it stands for. And, you know, it's also very interesting that I think there has been this kind of internal identity crisis within the Democratic Party, because, you know, you're seeing that even this last debate from the Democrats was not, you know, nobody really watched it. I mean, even in political circles, you know, those of us who go on Fox and, you know, other networks and stuff routinely, it's like a lot of us just watched some of the highlights later. I mean, it was just like, we can't stomach this. It's just so boring, and it's also so fundamentally disconcerting that they are actually saying things. I mean, remember the last debate and when Beto O'Rourke was saying openly in the media that if a church doesn't stand for same-sex marriage, then they should have their tax-exempt status removed. I mean, this is how fundamentally they're attacking freedoms in this country.
And it's so fascinating because, you know, as a Tea Party activist, started doing radio, I guess now maybe 6 years ago or whatever, filling in or guesting or whatever. And these are things we've been saying about the Democrats, what they really believe, you know, Communist Party USA when the new chairman was inaugurated, bragged about how they will continue to utilize the Democrat Party to further their agenda. And we used to talk about it, but they would never talk about who and what they really are. And the mask is off now. It's all on stage for everybody to see, and nobody's watching. The ratings for that last Democrat debate were abysmal. And so it's really a good sign as we head into 2020. Let's spend the last few minutes that we have left talking about the religious situation. It's unbelievable. We have a Marxist pope who will come out, and part of his Christmas message, this was just a couple of weeks ago, will declare that the Christian fundamentalists are a scourge and will encourage Christians to back away from their rigid adherence to, you know, scripture and some of the just the fundamental principles that have defined Christianity over the centuries. And then we have this outgoing editor of Christianity Today, the paper founded, a magazine founded by Billy Graham, coming out and saying Christians should support the impeachment and removal of this president. And he starts out by telling the lie. The facts in this instance are unambiguous. President attempted to use his political power to coerce a foreign leader to harass and discredit one of the president's political opponents. It's just a complete mischaracterization of what happened that day or what happened over the course of those months during the summer. And so you had something to say about that, and the Washington Examiner gave you a great forum to do it. Tell folks how you push back against that stupidity.
Yeah, and you can read the article online on Washington Examiner, and the headline is Christianity Today doesn't speak for most evangelicals.
Did I say Washington Post? I'm going to wash my mouth my own mouth out with soap when I'm done with this show. That's embarrassing.
Well,
but
no,
anyway,
it's okay.
Go ahead.
It is the Washington Examiner, and you know, and I pushed back on two key fundamental points, which are, you know, which we've already talked about in the last segment of how Christians, of course, it's moral and it's the right thing and it's proper to stand up for this president. And it is not antithetical to Christian values to stand for a president whose policies are pro-life, pro-Israel, pro-freedom, pro-freedom, free exercise of religion, pro-conservatism, conservative justices. I mean, we can go down pro-economy, pro-capitalism, you know, all of these things that he stands for very boldly and very clearly in his policy. So that's just a complete myth and a complete misperception. And then I also push back on the fact that this editor has no idea what he's talking about in constitutional law. He just makes these bold assertions with absolutely no backing of law or fact. Like saying that the facts are unambiguous. Well, that's an argument, but he's not backing that up with any support. And he actually then goes on to say that the president should be removed, and he uses this term for prudential judgment, either removed through impeachment and trial at the Senate or by the voters in 2020. And so he's making this really false comparison, saying that we, the American people, and apparently Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and others in Congress can remove Trump at our prudential judgment. That's not what the impeachment process is for. It's not for Congress to say, in our manifest wisdom, we are looking at the current president of the United States, and we don't think that he's qualified. We don't like the fact that the voters voted for him. We don't like his policies, and so therefore we're going to oust him. They don't have the constitutional authority to do that, but that's his argument. And so he's showing how absolutely just ignorant he is of our rule of law and how he is not willing to stand firm for limited specific powers given to the federal government. He's willing to manipulate the Constitution and to use it for his own purposes, which puts him squarely in the same camp as Nancy Pelosi. And so fundamentally, what I think is so interesting is that the Democrats are wanting to change the rule of law, the Constitution, manipulate what it actually means and stands for. And yet Nancy Pelosi will go on air and she'll say, oh, I stand with the Constitution. I'm invoking the rule of law and all this stuff, which she clearly is not. And then you have the editor of Christianity Today who claims to be a Christian, claims to have the values that genuine Christians stand for that are biblically based, that are truthful and objective. And yet he's going and doing the exact opposite. But this is overall liberalism. They want to say that you can, you and I, anybody can stand and declare their identity in any way, and it, that doesn't have to reflect reality. It doesn't have to reflect truth. I can claim to be a Christian and then go and live my life and have my values completely antithetical to that position, and claim to love America, and then go and completely ignore the rule of law and the Constitution. I can claim, you know, now that this whole outrage against J.K. Rowling for simply making a factual assertion that, no, biological women, you know, can't be men, and the inverse. I mean, just standing up for a principle of fact, you know, somehow then makes her worthy of being lambasted on Twitter. I mean, all of these things go to a broader perspective that they're manipulating reality, they're manipulating truth, and they're manipulating terms and words into whatever they want it to mean. And so when we say we're conservatives, when we say we love America, when we say we're Christians, those words and those identities actually mean something. And we as conservatives need to understand that those terms we have to protect. We have to make sure that we are consistent, and we have to point out the hypocrisy in every single area that it occurs, whether it's Nancy Pelosi or whether it's the editor of Christianity Today.
Obama said he would fundamentally transform the United States. A Marxist pope is fundamentally transforming the Catholic Church and the radical left, not even the radical left, just the left now in the United States, fundamentally transforming everything they touch, the Constitution, the history of impeachment, Christianity. They've got their dirty mitts everywhere. It was absolutely priceless, and we do have to wrap up here, but it's absolutely priceless to see Nancy Pelosi dressed in black on the day the vote for impeachment. Donald Trump goes and rallies around 20,000 people. It puts 13 more judges onto the courts of the land. And then when, remember, it's supposed to be such a solemn and prayerful event, and when they passed the first one, her caucus there started to break out in a cheer, and that look when she put up her hand and kind of looked the flashed her eyes at him. Stop that. This is serious. This is solemn. It's such a joke, the hypocrisy that exists, so easily exposed, but people don't talk about it enough. And you are one of those bright lights and powerful voices out there, Jen. I really appreciate the generosity of your time here back in your good old hometown of Denver. Hope to see you soon. But whatever comes your way, I wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. It's been a great time this morning to be with you, Randy, and have a very Merry Christmas and Happy Trump 2020 New Year.
It's going to be a very, very exciting. Take care. All right, we got about 19 minutes to go until the top of the hour. We'll squeeze in as many calls as we can. 303-696-1971. Final segment of the pre-Christmas edition of the Peter Boyle Show right here on 710 KNUS.
Download our free mobile app and listen to 710 KNUS on your phone or hear us at home or at work on your Alexa device. Details at 710knus.com. Message and data rates apply. Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Well, not so much here. Up in the mountains, white Christmas. Last couple of minutes before the end of the show, Christmas Day tomorrow. Just want to make sure I don't run out of time before I wish everybody a very, very Merry Christmas. I'll be back Thursday and Friday with Kelly Behind the Glass. Peter Boyle's here on Monday. And we'll keep it hot then. A lot of great text messages that have come in. Not going to have time to read them, but I do love this one. Randy, good morning from Pahrump, Nevada. Pahrump, P-A-H-R-U-M-P. Love it. Thanks, J.D., for writing in. Really do appreciate it. Mark's been calling in and has a very important point. Mark, you're going to have to make it quickly, but I wanted to get you on. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
Good.
Randy, Boris Johnson in England said that England would not be England without the Jewish community. And I would like to say that the American community, the persona of America, would not be America without the Jewish community in this country. Thank you. I'm just impressed and stunned by your generosity of spirit. Have a great Christmas.
Yeah, same to you, Mark. Thank you so very much. Just love these people. Yeah, here's what we played this yesterday with Katie Hopkins when she was with us live from London.
The Hanukkah light tonight, and in the nights to come, I want you to remember this. When the Maccabees drove the forces of darkness out of Jerusalem, they had to do so on their own. Today, as Britain's Jews seek to drive back the darkness of resurgent anti-Semitism, you have every decent person in this country fighting by your side. Because Britain would not be Britain without its Jewish community. And we will stand with you and celebrate with you at Hanukkah and all year round. Hag Hanukkah, Sameach.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And I made the point with Katie Hopkins, and boy, did she jump on it, that the unspoken part of that conversation that Johnson simply couldn't say is that the Islamist enclaves in London are pushing the Jews out. And Johnson's message was, those days are over under my watch. And you'd find a more supportive president of the United States than this one, moving the embassy to Israel, and just, you know, the list goes on and on. Don't have time to dig down into it right now. But I do want to tell you, as long as we're talking about Brexit, the very well-educated, very somber, very serious plagiarizer, CNN's Fareed Zakaria, warned his listeners in a big way. And I don't have time to play the audio, but he said he's afraid the United Kingdom's general election results last week could be a foreshadowing of what's to come in the U.S. in 2020. Man, I could not agree more. And so we're going to have to button it up here pretty quick. Matt Dunn is in for Stephen Tubbs. I know he'll be all over the FISA scam and Ukraine and everything else. This is a great tease. I don't know if he'll have this clip or not, but this was Rudy Giuliani on with Glenn Beck about 2 days ago.
Love to see it.
I want to show you one other document that I think probably gets the President of the United States angrier than anything else, and you'll see why in a minute. This is an accounting report going back to 2017. This is during the Obama administration. The Ukrainians located $5.3 billion in foreign aid that was being misspent. About 80% of that is our money. That's what he keeps saying about, he was worried about how Ukraine spends money. Here's the proof. Not, you know, Adam Schiff lies. Here's the proof. Now, the Ukrainians started to investigate this. Two people from our embassy went to see them and told them, don't investigate it. We don't care. We don't care about the $5.3 billion of our taxpayers' money. And you say, well, why would they do that? And then there was even a lot more pressure. Why would they do that? Because what this shows is that our embassy was giving this money not to the government. They were giving it to NGOs. You know who the biggest NGO owner is?
Yeah, George Soros.
Oh, my God, anti-Semitic. We're anti-Semitic now.
I know.
We said the word George Soros. I'll be damned if you're going to call me anti-Semitic.
Yeah, and I don't have my guide in front of me. I had a clip of A.G. Barr talking about George Soros as well. His name is out there now. Why do you think that the left, the newspapers, all of them are trying to criticize and take down Giuliani, Attorney General Barr? Now they're going after John Durham. It's because 2020 is the day that the wrapping paper of the deep, dark secret of the Obama administration and all of these phony investigations and efforts to take down the president are going to be uncovered. Correction, Christmas programming tonight, Matt Dunn in for Stephen Tubbs on Thursday. I'll be back on Thursday morning in for Peter Boyles. That'll give us a chance to dig into this Giuliani perspective on Ukraine and some of the just incredible information that's not being reported about the efforts to take out the president of the United States. In the meantime, it's been great. All the wonderful text messages, the direct messages on Twitter, the new followers on Facebook. I just can't tell you how much it means. Those of us here at 710, I mean, we've been under a little assault ourselves. And I just want to remind you, if you think it's been tough at any point along the way this year, you ain't seen nothing yet. Saddle up. In the meantime, Merry Christmas. Enjoy. God loves you. So do I. See you Thursday.